Douglas Carswell in the house. Welcome to the County Line. County Line congregation, welcome back. Douglas, I appreciate you taking the time this morning to come join us. So, Mississippi Center for Public Policy. How in the world did you end up from Parliament in Great Britain to the CEO and president of Mississippi Center for Public Policy?
Well, the short answer is, if you believe, as I do, that freedom and liberty are the thing that makes our species, the human species, distinct, it's the thing that lifts us up, as Ronald Reagan put it, from the swamp to the stars. If you think that freedom and liberty are what drives human progress, there's no other country in the world like the United States. And so I wanted to come to the United States and do something for the liberty movement. I had been a member of parliament in Britain. I had campaigned for Brexit, for Britain taking back its freedoms. In fact, I co-founded Vote Leave, the official Brexit campaign team. And after we won that, I thought I wanted to come to the United States to do something for the liberty movement. Now, America's a big place, right? And when you're an outsider looking in, you think, where do you start? I looked at Washington, and you know what? I looked at Washington and I thought, a waste of time. You could spend a lifetime, you could spend hundreds of millions of dollars trying to move the dial in favor of freedom and liberty in DC, and you know, the swamp will be. But the genius of the United States is that it's 50 different systems. So I figured that actually, if I came to a state that had a notionally Republican majority, that had a whole bunch of high tax, high regulation things that they had inherited from, you know, generations of Democrat rule, I figured that actually I could try and make a difference in this state, in Mississippi. Now, I mean, I know America well enough to know that the South is the best part of America. You want to live somewhere where they eat grits for breakfast. You don't want to live in, you know, Vermont or California. So it was obvious to me, I wanted to work in the Liberty Movement. I wanted to work in the South, and I wanted to work for a state that I think could be doing so much better if it adopted free market ideas. And the job in Mississippi came along, and I jumped at it. I met with the board virtually. I talked to them online, and I just really hit it off with them. Great, great group of people. They've been pushing for freedom and liberty in Mississippi for 30 years. But you know, the truth is, Mississippi is often 50th out of 50, right?
It's correct.
It's often bottom of the class. It's bottom of the class because, if I'm honest with you, sometimes Mississippi is run like a European state. It's high tax, high regulation, lots of government boards and commissions cluttering up downtown Jackson. If we can make Mississippi less European and more American, Mississippi won't be 50th for much longer.
It's so interesting that you lay it out like that, because if you talk to the average Mississippian, they would probably argue that they are one of the most American states. And what areas do you see the highest taxation that you speak of in regards to Mississippi being run like a European state?
Well, take, for example, work. In many European countries, you need a permit to work. You need a license to work. You need a George III type figure to say it's okay for you to earn a living. Mm-hmm. In America, you shouldn't have to do that. In America, you fought a revolutionary war to say, hang on, it's none of anyone else's business to tell me what I can and can't do. Yet here in Mississippi, an enormous number of jobs, everyday jobs, need a permit and a license in order to do. Now, I get it. If I get on an airplane, I want to know that the pilot has got a license.
Right.
If I go in for surgery, I want to know that the surgeon has been licensed. But, you know, do you really need a license to earn a living cutting someone's hair? Now, you can see from the hair on my head, I don't often need the services of a barber. But if I did need the services of a barber, I think I would take my chances with an unlicensed barber. Why do you need permits and permissions for everyday occupations? It's a European way of running a state. It's one of the reasons why Mississippi has been held back. You need permits for many things. You know, we are surrounded here in Mississippi by states that have done incredibly well. Look at Tennessee. How many young Mississippians do you speak to who say they want to go to Nashville?
Too many.
How many young Mississippians do you meet who want to go to Austin in Texas?
Too many.
What does Tennessee and Texas have?
No income tax.
No income tax. Exactly. We need to get rid of the income tax. We need to get rid of it completely. Now, we cut it down to a flat 4%. That's great. That's progress. but we need, if we want to join that Southern success story. Now, for 30, 40 years, states like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, they've been thriving. They've been thriving because they've cut taxes and deregulated. We could be part of that Southern success story if we get rid of the regulations that are holding us back.
Does... Some would argue in favor of those licenses and the fees and all that comes with having to obtain those permits for those, you know, for those like barbers or what have you. If we were to deregulate that and say we do take chances on professions such as barbers that don't have licenses, the state depends on that revenue to a certain extent. And I would say probably because our tax base is so distraught, for lack of a better word, would that, do you think that would have a positive impact on the revenue or impact?
The rationale for maintaining these permits and licenses is not that they generate large volumes of revenue for the state. I mean, they just don't.
Okay.
The argument put forward is that the customer needs to know that the people doing these jobs have been certified. Again, that's just baloney. That's the kind of argument George III would be saying if he was running America today. The real reason why we keep these licenses is because the people who've already got them want to keep out cheap competitors.
Mm.
If you look at occupational licensing, it's largely a racket. It's a scam. It's what you might call an aristocracy of certified professionals using regulation to keep out cheap competition.
I see.
One of the things that the governor, I think to his great credit, has done, this is Tate Reeves, he signed into law a bill that we had been pushing for universal occupational licensing recognition. This means for 27, I think it is, different professions. If you've got a certification and a license in a different state, you can automatically apply to get a license and get it here in Mississippi. Now, that hasn't led to a flood of people coming in from outside. But what it has done is caused Mississippians, particularly young Mississippians, to turn around and say, hey, hang on, why am I having to take several hundred hours of nonsensical training to get a permit when some guy from Alabama can come in and get one right away? So it's creating this downward pressure on certification. And I think there's one area of certification that really needs to be addressed, and that is particularly teachers. If you have a small monopoly of certification for teachers in the hands of state officials, and they often tend to be terribly woke, and they often tend to be, you know, prone to left-wing thinking, it infects the whole public school system. So I think there are not just good economic reasons to get rid of restrictive licenses. I think we need to end the monopoly for certification for teachers as well.
Yeah, I agree with that, because what's happening in the teaching profession is they're steadily lowering the standard required to become a teacher because there's such a shortage. And so effectively, it's a restraint and causing a backlog or a restraint, for lack of a better word, when people are trying to get licensed to become educators, because the license is not serving the purpose that it was intended to. Yep. They're steadily having to lower the bar because they're trying to make it easier and more appealing for more people to become teachers.
When you study hard and get a CPA, it's a quality control, isn't it? You're a certified CPA. That means you can be trusted to do the books for someone. You can be trusted to do their tax returns and all the rest of it. It should be similar when you're a certified and approved licensed teacher. The problem is you've got a monopolistic system of approval for teachers in particular. And, you know, it means that a lot of the people who are training to be teachers go in with good intentions, but I would suggest that when they're being taught how to teach, they're not actually being taught how to teach the way they should be being taught how to teach. They're often, not always, but often in other states, there's evidence that they're being taught to almost teach children what to think rather than how to think, to create mini activists in the classroom.
Very much so. I was in the Masters of Education program at the University of Southern Mississippi about 4 or 5 years ago, and came to recognize very quickly that the curriculum had been heavily influenced by the woke ideology. Books such as White Like Me. Are you familiar with that book?
No.
It's about a gentleman from originally from Nashville, I believe, and moved to New Orleans, and basically the entire book. Again, the book's titled White Like Me, and the author's name escapes me, but people listening can find it online. And he basically goes through and, in typical woke fashion, outlines his thinking behind every reasoning why America's racist. And
let me tell you something. If America was racist, right? When I came to this country, I was in a long line of people at an Atlanta airport, and standing in the line in front of me and behind me trying to get into this country were people of every color, every continent, every culture, every creed trying to get into America. If America was so racist, they wouldn't be coming here. If America was racist, look at the southern border. You see tens of thousands of people trying to climb over the fence and make their way into Texas. If America was racist, the traffic would be going the other way around. There'd be tens of thousands of Texans trying to climb over the fence to get to Guatemala. The fact that all these people want to come to the United States tells you something about America. It tells you what liberal progressives don't realize, which is that this country is a land of opportunity for everyone. There is no other country in the world like the United States. No matter what your background, your color, your creed, if you can make it anyway, it's in the United States. And the world knows this, which is why they're trying to come here. They're not trying to get into China. People aren't clambering over fences to get into Russia. They're trying to get into the United States. Don't let people demoralize you into thinking that there is something systemically racist and wrong with the United States. This is the greatest country that has ever existed.